KJAN Sports.
Time for Jacob Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. In high school volleyball play last night, it was Stanton defeating Southwest Valley 3-1. Fairfax, Missouri beat South Page 2-0. Bedford downing Rockport, Missouri 2-1. Fremont Mills beat Bedford 2-0 last evening. The latest AP high school football poll for the week out. Late yesterday afternoon in Class 4A, Bettendorf is top rated with Cedar Rapids, Washington, West Des Moines, Dowling, West Des Moines Valley, and Waukee the top five. Sioux City East, Ankeny Centennial, Ames, Johnston, and North Scott round out the top 10 in the big school class. In Class 3A, Pella is number one again this week with Cedar Rapids, Xavier 2, West Delaware 3. Carroll stays put at number 4. Bishop Heelan Catholic is ranked 5th. The second five includes Ballard, Solon, Waverly, Shellrock, Gilbert, and Newton. In Class 2A, the top 10 this week includes Clear Lake, Spirit Lake, Sioux Center, Williamsburg, Albia, Hampton Dumont, Center Point Urbana, New Hampton, North Fayette, and Mediapolis. In Class 1A, the top 10 has Iowa City Regina on top, followed by South Winneshiek, Fort Dodge St. Edmund, West Branch, St. Ansgar. IKM Manning is number 6, followed by Ogden, Hinton, West Lyon, and Bellevue. In the Class 8 top 10 this week, it's Logan Magnolia, the new number 1, as they switch spots with Maquoketa Valley. Logan Magnolia, 2 points in the voting, better than Maquoketa Valley for the top place. AGWSR is 3rd, followed by Nashua Plainfield, Pekin, Gladbrook, Rhinebeck, St. Albert at number 7, Montezuma, Belle Plaine, and then Bedford debuts at number 10. And in the 8-man class, Xyra EHK takes the top spot this week as they switch spots with Don Bosco. Don Bosco actually got one more first-place vote, but Xyra EHK had 130 voting points to 118 for Don Bosco, so they take the top spot. Fremont Mills remains ranked number 3. Janesville is 4th. Coon Rapids Bayer jumps 4 spots this week up to number 5. HLV, Glidden-Ralston, Turkey Valley, Elkader Central, and MMC round out the 8-man top 10 in this week's poll. Well, the preliminaries are almost done in the Big 12. 7 of the 10 teams have completed their non-conference schedules. Texas Tech coach Cliff Kingsbury says he makes sure his players know that their entire season and all they want to accomplish is still in front of them. New Texas coach Charlie Strong talks to Longhorns about Phase 2, which is Big 12 play. The Red Raiders play their conference opener Thursday night at 24th-ranked Oklahoma State. Iowa State becomes the first team to play 2 Big 12 games when the Cyclones host 7th-ranked Baylor on Saturday. The Cyclones' homecoming game against Toledo on October 11th is the only game a Big 12 team will play after September that doesn't count in the league standings. After a week off, the Iowa State Cyclones are preparing for this week's visit from a nationally ranked Baylor team that blasted the Cyclones 71-7 a year ago.
We got 2 weeks to prepare for Baylor. After watching them, I'm not so sure that 2 days wouldn't be better. I'd be less scared in that time frame in the preparation. It's a team that averages 60 points a game, are only giving up 9 points a game. They're ranked 6th in the country for good reason. We look forward to entertaining them this Saturday night in Jack Trice Stadium.
That's Iowa State coach Paul Rhodes. Baylor is best known for the passing of quarterback Bryce Petty, but Rhodes says the Bears want to be balanced.
I do believe this. They're run first, and you better stop their as explosive as they are in a pass game. Okay, you better stop their run game to be able to have a chance to have overall success against them.
Rhodes says it will be up to the ISU offense to keep the Cyclones in the game.
You got to score in this league. Against this particular team, yeah, you got to score points.
Rhodes says that Baylor will put a lot of pressure on the Cyclone defensive backs.
You've got to become an offensive player, and by that I mean you've got to put yourself in the best situation to see the football. If you end up playing blind with your back to the defender, the odds favor them in a game like this because Bryce Petty throws the ball so accurately, and they have so many acrobatic receivers that can make the great catch, not just the simple catch.
Rhodes says Baylor can turn a short pass into a big gain, and that's what the Cyclones need to limit.
Getting as many people to finish plays is going to be important. Not making this a game of one-on-one tackles and one-on-one battles, but what they do in a unique way lends itself to that's what you're going to get more of than you'd like to see.
Rhodes says the ISU offense will need to do its part to help to shorten the game.
It's been evident through 3 games thus far this season that we're not operating at a fast tempo. There's not a lot of snaps where we're above 20 when we're snapping a ball, not even above 10 when we're snapping a ball. The bigger piece of when you're snapping a ball is keeping it and getting first downs in the process and not having three long plays, potentially having 13 long plays and ending up in the end zone. And we got to end up in the end zone a number of times to have a chance.
7:30 Saturday night at the time, Jack Trice Stadium in Ames, the place, Iowa State and Baylor coming up. Now, seventh-ranked Baylor expects to get top receiver Antoine Goodley and some other injured players back for their Big 12 opener. Coach Art Briles said Monday that he expects that Goodley, receiver Corey Coleman, and running back Devin Chafin will be in the mix when the Bears play at Iowa State Saturday night, all worked out during last week's open date. Goodley had 67 catches for 1,319 yards and 13 touchdowns last season. He only played the first quarter of the season opener August 31st before re-aggravating a tight right quad. Coleman hasn't played this season, while Chafin missed the last two games with an ankle injury. Senior receiver Clay Fuller, who broke his collarbone early in preseason practice, could also make his season debut Saturday night. The Chicago Bears have improved to 2-1 as they took advantage of a pair of first-quarter turnovers by the New York Jets last night. Ryan Mundy returned an interception 45 yards for a touchdown to put the Bears ahead to stay just 32 seconds into a 27-19 victory over the New York Jets at the Meadowlands. Chicago also scored its second TD off a turnover as Jay Cutler hit Martellus Bennett for a 7-yard score after the Jets fumbled a punt. The 1-2 Jets still had a chance to tie the game in the final minute, moving to the Chicago 9-yard line before losing the ball on downs. Cutler was 23 of 38 for 225 yards and a pair of touchdowns to Bennett. He fared better than Geno Smith, who was picked off twice while completing 26 of his 43 throws for 316 yards and a score. The Jets lost despite outgaining the Bears 414 yards to 257. Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti kept a low profile when running back Ray Rice was suspended indefinitely by the NFL earlier this month. However, he was front and center following an ESPN report that suggested that he, President Dick Cass, and General Manager Ozzie Newsome pushed Commissioner Roger Goodell for leniency for Rice. Bisciotti criticized the report at a news conference Monday, saying that the majority of sources work for Rice and are building a case for reinstatement. Rice initially received a 2-game suspension in July, 5 months after he was arrested for knocking out his then-fiancée in an Atlantic City elevator. The punishment was increased to an indefinite suspension 2 weeks ago after a second and more revealing videotape of the incident was released by TMZ. The Ravens released Rice the same day the second tape was released. Bisciotti said there's been no misdirection or misinformation by the Ravens, but added that the team did not do all it should have done, and no amount of explanation can remedy that. He said the team should have worked harder to gain access to the second videotape. Well, week 3 took its toll on a number of standout NFL players. Detroit Lions middle linebacker Stephen Tulloch will miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL that he suffered while he was dancing to celebrate a sack. Tulloch injured his knee in the first quarter of Detroit's 19-7 victory over Green Bay on Sunday. He returned to action shortly after but was unable to continue playing. Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta has undergone season-ending surgery to repair a dislocated right hip. The injury occurred in Sunday's game against Cleveland when Pitta went down without being touched and had to be removed from the field on a cart. Washington Redskins cornerback D'Angelo Hall has a ruptured left Achilles, and he's done for the season. The 3-time Pro Bowl player went down without being touched in the third quarter of Sunday's loss to Philadelphia. Defensive end Jason Hatcher injured a hamstring in Sunday's game, but says he's confident that he'll play Thursday against the New York Giants in a short week for Washington. San Diego Chargers coach Mike McCoy says running back Danny Woodhead has a broken lower right leg, and he'll miss the rest of the season. Pittsburgh cornerback Ike Taylor underwent surgery Monday to repair the right forearm that he broke in the third quarter of Sunday night's 37-19 win over Carolina. Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera says Pro Bowl fullback Mike Tolbert has a hairline fracture in his right leg, and running back Jonathan Stewart has a severely sprained right knee. Rivera says Tolbert won't play Sunday at Baltimore and will be reevaluated on a week-to-week basis, while Stewart will be reassessed on Friday. Tennessee Titans quarterback Jake Locker hurt his wrist in Tennessee's loss to Cincinnati. Coach Ken Wisenhunt says Locker had an MRI on his right wrist Monday morning. Locker's availability for Sunday's game at Indianapolis will be known later this week. In baseball, Adam Wainwright joined Clayton Kershaw as the majors' only 20-game winners, pitching 3-hit ball over 7 innings, and the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Chicago Cubs 8-0 on Monday night. Wainwright hit the 20-win mark for the second time while matching his career high for victories, and the Cardinals moved a step closer toward their second straight division title. They remain 2.5 games ahead of Pittsburgh in the NL Central with 5 to play, with the Pirates beating Atlanta 1-0. St. Louis clinched its fourth straight playoff appearance on Sunday. Just a couple of other games in the National League. San Diego beat Colorado 1-0, and it was San Francisco 5-2 in 13 innings over the L.A. Dodgers. Danny Duffy pitched 6 shutout innings for his first win in more than a month as the Kansas City Royals moved closer to the top of the AL Central and kept some distance over Cleveland in the wildcard race, beating the Indians 2-0 last night. Duffy, who had thrown just 1 pitch in September before the start, held the Indians to 6 hits. The left-hander had been sidelined since September 6th with a sore shoulder. Greg Holland worked the ninth for his 44th save as the Royals, seeking their first postseason appearance since 1985, moved within 1 game of first-place Detroit. The Tigers lost 2-0 at home to the White Sox. Carlos Carrasco couldn't keep the momentum going for the Indians, who earlier in the day completed a 4-3 win in 10 innings in a game that was suspended on August 31st in Kansas City. Other AL action includes the Yankees over Baltimore 5-0. Toronto beat Seattle 14-4. Texas downing Houston 4-3. Oakland beat the LA Angels 8-4. One interleague game saw Arizona top Minnesota 6-2. In other baseball news, Sandy Alderson is keeping his current job. A person with knowledge of the deal tells the Associated Press that the New York Mets and their general manager have agreed to a multi-year contract. Alderson replaced Omar Minaya before the 2010 season, signing a 4-year deal with a club option for 2015. Rather than just exercise the option, the Mets are giving him a new deal that keeps him under contract longer. CBSSports.com reported Monday that Alderson and the Mets agreed to a 3-year deal that runs through 2017. And the Atlanta Braves have fired general manager Frank Wren less than 24 hours after being eliminated from the National League playoff race. Former Major League executive and MLB Network analyst John Hart has been named as the team's interim general manager. Wren was in his 15th season with the Braves and his 7th as the club's GM. The Braves have been one of baseball's biggest disappointments this season. A half game behind the Washington Nationals for the National League East lead on July 29th, Atlanta plummeted out of contention by winning just 18 of its next 49 games. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.